I want to quickly preach to us on the topic I've titled, You Are Not Forgotten. And what I want to do is to encourage us, is to remind us, is to bring us to a place of peace. And most especially, I want us to use Pastor Fred's testimony as a pedestrian for your faith in God. I want you to know that delay is not denial. I want you to know that the Lord will show up for you at the right time. And so I want to supply God's word for your basis to believe that what God has done for him, God is able to repeat in your life, whatever you're trusting God. His testimony is like what I was teaching you on Tuesdays. For this I trusted God for. You can say that. And I want you to just keep into God's word. No matter your position, no matter what you're going through, I want you to have your faith in the word of God. I want to encourage us this morning. Psalm, the 13th chapter, and I'm going to read first 3 verses very quickly. How long will thou forget me? Oh Lord, you can see the cry in the soul of David. How long will thou forget me, oh Lord? Forever? Forever? How will thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. We have so many people that feel like David this morning. And we have here, seated, listen to, that are crying in their souls, Lord, will you forget me forever? This David, a man after God's heart, a man that loves the Lord, serves the Lord, in the plan of God, yet he had warfare in his life. He was in turmoil. He had challenges. He felt forsaken. He felt abandoned. He felt pain. And was crying to God. Like I know some of us, we cry to God daily. Some of us, we cry to God sometimes. Some of us, people make us to cry to God. You know, the way people talk to you sometimes. You know, the people relate with you sometimes. You know, people make you to remember your shame sometimes. Here, he remember and said, God. You understand? In his perplexion, in his disappointment, he said, God, is this situation going to remain like this? Is this situation going to remain like this? It looks like you've forgotten about me. I'm talking to people this morning that have delays, you know, in the fulfillment of God's promise for your life. God has given you a word. God has sent something into your life. And it looks like years, time passing. And you're saying, Lord, will you forget me forever? And you're saying, God, when will you do my own? There's a word ahead of you. It's not that you're just grabbing. There's a promise. God has revealed his word to you. But it looks months after months. Probably even God, word has come to you on this pulpit. Word has come to you from some servant of God or from friends. You know, like Pastor Fred said, from an old man. I said, God, when will you do it? When will you answer my promise? Those are the people I'm talking to this morning. And I'm talking this morning again to people that are serving God faithfully. You do all that we ask you to do. We stay on Tuesday, please fast and come to pray. You pray, you fast, and you come in the evening. I said, come to Bible study, you come to Bible study. I said, come on Sunday, you come. I understand somebody that walks even from Akpata to church sometimes. You do all that you can do for God. You serve the Lord, you come to clean the church. You serve in the children's church. You serve in the choir. You try your best. You know, like Ezekiah. The Bible says, in the service of the Lord, blameless. It was not man that said that. It was God, you know, that was judging him. He judged him faith. He said, my service was blameless. Yet, he had no child. I'm talking to such people here this morning. That you do your possible best. You know, and God has not come to you. And he looks at you and forgotten. I'm talking this morning again to another category of people. People that felt abandoned. Abandoned by parents. Abandoned by friends. Abandoned, you know, by relatives. You know, sometimes when there is this sheet of life, people abandon you. Have been in that position before. I remember many years back, my office used to be, you know, a mini church. People will come, you know, we talk, you know, I share God's word. They come for their needs. I meet as much as I can. But when things went south for me, everybody left. Everybody. If I thought at the time, I said, if I have problem, I will never have problem. Because I've blessed a lot of people, people will rise. Oh, I made a mistake. Now I know that people can use you. The best of people, the people that you sow your life into them, the people you get all to, they can leave you. They can abandon you. They can forget you. I've been there before. I was left abandoned. I felt forgotten. Because the people that think we care, in my downtime, they all left. In fact, some of them were saying all kind of things about me. The people that I gave money to. The people, you know, I paid their school fees. The people that I gave house rent. The people I settled in family. They started saying all kind of things, you know, about me. So I'm talking to those category of people this morning. You felt abandoned. You felt alone. Parents are left. You know, some parents, you know, have written off their children. They said about you that you can't amount to nothing. You know, they use possibly your siblings, you know, to flog you. They say, Waburwe, Oloshida Daye, Atemo, Boyawala Beer. So people, you are here this morning. I have this word for you. You know, those feeling lonely and disappointed. I know people can be lonely. Even the middle of the people, you can feel lonely. You can be in the midst of the people, and yet you are lonely. I'm talking to some people this morning, people that have been disappointed, in quotes disappointed by God, in quotes disappointed by possible people you are looking up to. Those are the people that I'm talking to this morning. I'm talking this morning to people that are in the wilderness of life. Wilderness of life is a difficult place to be, you know. It's a difficult experience, you know, to have in life. People that are in wilderness of life and you're about to take some decision that you know you regret. Those are the people that I'm talking, you know, to this morning. I'm talking to people that are seated here. You find it difficult to pay your bills. Bills keep on coming in. And say, God, how can I settle this bill? And you feel forgotten. I have good news for you this morning. No matter your station, and I'm going to tell you from the word of God. I'm not talking to make you feel good. I'm not talking to make you feel excited. I'm talking the scriptures. I'm speaking from the word of God. I have a word for you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, that God has not forgotten you. I want you to know that God has not forgotten you. You have some dreams, and you look at dreams, you know, it's going south. Your dreams look like it's not going to be fulfilled. I want you to know this morning that you are not forgotten. Say to your neighbor, and say, neighbor, you are not forgotten. Let me tell you three things very quick. No matter your situation, no matter what you are going through, I want you to know that God knows about it. Say to your neighbor, God knows about it. No matter how bad the situation is, no matter how poor you look, no matter, you know, all this situation you feel in, you know, fulfilled dreams, you know, you feel lonely, you feel abandoned, you know, you felt used. No matter the situation, I want you to know that God knows about it. God knows about what you are going through. God knows about where you are. And I want that to gladden your heart. And so, Pastor, so God knows my situation. That shows that God has not forgotten about you. He knows what you are passing through. Number two that I want you to know about God this morning, God monitors every step, you know, in your situation. Say to your neighbor, God is monitoring every step.
He not only knows about it,
he's monitoring it.
God is the first man that started M&D. You know? God is the first man that started M&E.
Comfort is achieving M&E today. But I want you to know that God started M&E. You know something what God does? When you are going through your challenges of life, he monitors it. Because he will not allow you to suffer more than what you can bear.
So whatever you are going through now, God has permitted it because he knows that you can bear it. Check your neighbor, he knows that you can bear it.
Even that most of the time we dumb sheep. You know, we run away from God. You know, we give God all kinds of names. We say all things about God. It's because you don't know that God has trusted you that whatever you are passing through now, you can handle it. Because the Bible says he will not permit what you cannot handle. Now that you feel lonely, it's because God knows you can handle it. Now that you feel abandoned, it's because God knows that you can handle it. Now that you feel disappointed, he knows that you can handle it. Now you're having unfulfilled dreams, he knows that you can handle it. Now, what he's doing with the monitor is that the moment he knows that you want to go to the phase that you cannot handle, he will not permit it.
Hello, somebody.
He will not permit it. And so the situation of your life, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how frustrated you become, God knows about it. And he will not permit, you know, more than you can bear. So God knows about it. God is monitoring it. God knows it, your situation. And lastly, you say to your neighbor, God is planning the way out. God is planning for you a way of peace. There's a song that you are going to have very soon. There's a testimony that is coming your way very soon. Because God is in the business of your life. You know what his name is? You don't know. His name is Alpha. And his name is Omega. He is the beginning. And he is the end. And he keeps your life in between the beginning and the end. He watches over your life. Not only is he watching over your life, he's watching over the world in your life. So that the world will be performed. He's watching over your life. Let me share with you very quickly some thoughts in God's word. I'm saying that God has not forgotten. Isaiah 49. When you get this scripture, you can carry your bag and go. No, don't carry your bag because you will get it. Isaiah chapter 49, very quickly. Because you are going to dance and give a thanksgiving offering. You know, so I don't want to deny you the opportunity. I'm going to go through this very soon. Isaiah 49, verse 13. See, what the Bible says? I like this. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O heart. God is speaking to someone here this time. He said to you, you sing. Even in your situation of barrenness, in your situation of hopelessness, in your situation of abandonment, in your situation of wastage, you know what the Bible says to you? He said, ye sing and be joyful, O heart, and break forth into singing. You know what that means, breaking forth into singing. You know, you are in a situation, you are moody. You are in a situation, you are perplexed. Do you understand that? You know, when we are singing, praise worship, and we are dancing, you are not breaking forth into singing. You are breaking forth into singing when you switch from sorrow and then you get into joy. When you switch from depression and then you start singing some worship song to God. That's what God is asking you to do this morning. You can only break forth into singing in faith. Did you get that? You can only break forth into singing in faith. Because your situation does not call, you know, for singing. Your situation does not call, you know, for worship. But he said, you must break forth into it. O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people, and we have mercy upon the afflicted. But Zion said, you know, when God said, break forth into singing. He said, put on your dancing shoe. He said, come on with worship. You know what you said to God? Zion said, they're not forsaking me. God is saying to you, come and dance. God God is saying to you, come on, you know, John, God is saying to you, you know, open your mouth and sing a new song. You know what Zion is saying? Zion was relating to God in view of his challenges. Zion said, like some of you, you are saying in your heart, you know, those categories that I mentioned, you are saying in your heart, they said, God, why should I sing? God, why should I dance? God, why should I jump? God, why should I give a thanksgiving offering? And say, for I am forsaken. And the Lord has forgotten about me. Oh, what an insult on God. He shall forsake me. Shall not want to dance. I've been abandoned. You've forgotten about me. If you haven't forgotten about me, I will not be in this pain. If you haven't forgotten about me, I will not be in this situation. If you haven't forgotten about me, you know, people, you know, will not be yelling at me. You know how that pain is. And so, no, I've been forgotten. Glory to God. See what the Bible says with assurance to Zion. He said, can a woman forget her sucking child? Can a woman forget her sucking child? That she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet, I will not forget you. That's God speaking to you. I will not forget you. Zion said, I've been forgotten. Zion said, I've been forsaken. God is sent to you. And I can say that God has said, thus saith the Lord. He said, you are not forgotten. He said, I will not forget you. I haven't forgotten, and I will not forget. Praise God. In other words, I did it. I am not. Even in the future, no matter the mess you find yourself in, God is saying, I will not forget you. Glory to Jesus. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. You don't get that? What God is saying is this. I'm watching over you. Is there anybody here that have not used your palm in the day? Is there anybody that will not see your palm in a day? God said, that's how I take you. That's how much I have you focused. He said, I watch your walls. I watch your life. I watch your destiny. That's what God is saying to you this morning. I haven't forgotten. He said, I will not forget. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Oh, praise God. I want to read from Amplified Version. It said, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. See the B part. It's not coming. For he has said. It's not just saying it. Amen. For he has said. You know, sometimes you think that God relates with you based on you now. That's the way we think sometimes. And I said many times, some of us run away from God. We shall not want and death can feel it. You know, God does not relate with you as of your presence. God has related with you based on Jesus Christ. You know what he said here? He's amplified. He said, for he has said, I will, and I want you to see will. I will never. Do you see that? Togo Ibo at all. I will never. What is the meaning of never? Under no circumstances, under no situation, under whatsoever, I will never. Amplified, put here. And even I haven't seen it. Me too, I can write the translation of the Bible, you know. I will never, under any circumstances, that's amplified. Desires, I like that word. Desires. I will never desert you, nor give up, nor leave you without support, nor will I, in any degree, leave you helpless. I hope somebody will be excited. I will never desert you, nor give up, nor leave you without support, nor will I in any degree leave you helpless. Nor will I forsake or let you down, or relax my hold on you, assuredly not. See what the Lord say here. I'm excited. He said, nor will I forsake or let you down. You know, some people say, oh, God has let me down. You know, God has forsaken me. That's the devil that is speaking through your mouth. That's the devil of your father's house or your mother's house. The demon of your father's house speaking through you. God, he says something else. He said, I will. When God says it, you can go and see. Situation is making you to think that he has forsaken you, that he has forgotten about you. Then he said, no, I will. Nor will I forsake or let you down or relax my hold on you. I'm holding you. I'm not going to relax my hold. Says your neighbor, neighbor, God is saying that you are not forgotten. Isaiah chapter 30. And show what the Bible says here. You know why I'm reading this scripture? You know, 2 Tuesdays ago, I told you 2 things about God's word. Do you remember? When you read God's word, there's grace upon the word for you to believe it, for you to be able to obey it. When you are reading God's word, there's an inherent power in the word of God to perform. And that's why I'm reading this. As I'm reading, his grace is being released over your life. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. And see what the Lord says again. For thus saith the Lord God. Yes, saith the Lord God. For thus saith the Lord God. This is not Pastor Shola, brother. For thus saith the Lord God. This is not your father. This is not your colleague. This is not your boss. It is the Lord that said it. And for you to be assured, said the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and he would it. God, through this word, wants you to enter into his rest. He wants you to get into his rest. He wants you to settle in your mind that you are not forgotten, that you can never be forgotten. In quietness, God will return. Isaiah 48. Let me read one or two more. Yes, grace is reading. And I made some few points. And then we're ready to go. Isaiah 48, verse 10. See what the Bible says here. Behold, I have refined thee, not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Can you see that? He hasn't chosen you, you know, in under the AC. God does not know who is true under the AC. God does not know which press worship is worthy under the AC. Who will not praise when you have a brand new car? Who will not praise when you have a brand new house? Who will not praise when you have a new job? You understand that? You see what God is saying here? He said, I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction. You don't want to go through it, but therein is God choosing people. You don't want to be troubled, but therein God elevates people. You don't want to be troubled, but therein God brings favor to people. He said, in the fullness of affliction. Oh, praise God. If you don't go through the brokenness, you don't have money in your account. You are so poor, you are looking for money. That is where God is going to choose you. You know what? You need to go through that. So that when you have money, you will know that you have that money to bless the poor. You know some people want. So when people don't have money, they don't understand. But God is making you to go through a state of brokenness. You are poor, you are struggling to pay your rent. So that when you are chosen in that furnace, you remember the poor. Because you know, most of us, you think you are rich for yourself, for your wife, for your children. No. Corinthians make us to know that God bless you so that you can be a blessing. He said, I've chosen in the fullness of affliction for my own sake. Even for my own sake will I do it. Can you see that? He will do it for own sake. Not because you dress well. Not because you are looking good or you're not. For his sake, the Lord said, I'm going to choose you. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. Let me tell us, 4 Corinthians, you know, I have some other scriptures. Let me stop at that. But you can write it down, Romans 8, 24. 1 Peter 1, 6. Habakkuk 2, 3. When you get home, you go and read that. Now, the following points, put you know them. Number one. Even though you feel abandoned, you are chosen and you are mighty. I'm giving you facts, truth from God's word. Even though you feel abandoned, I want you to know that you are chosen and you are mighty. As a pastor, tell me, motivational. I'm speaking God's word, yes, not motivational. David, when God said to the prophet, go to Jesse's house and go and anoint the next king. Then when he got there, all the children were home except David and Abiathar. He was in the bush. He was left alone. He was keeping all the other people were in the east. You know, they are in their father's seat. They were enjoying. They are watching cartoon. One of them is watching how Asna demolished Nottingham yesterday. Some of them were watching. You know how Guardiola lost his fifth match. Some of them are preparing to watch, you know, how Liverpool will lose to Southampton, you know, this afternoon. They understand that. But they left that guy. They understand that. They were discussing how Manchester, they changed their coach. I cannot want to be there. You know, but David was somewhere in the bush. He didn't have another opportunity. Who will he be talking to? Will he be discussing football with sheep and goats? But listen, that is the man that I've got not. Even though he felt abandoned, that is the man that I've been chosen. The people in cozy houses, the people that have money, the people that have connection, were not the one chosen. It was David that was abandoned in the bush that had been anointed to be the king. Ooh! Ooh! And that's what I said to people. Don't look down on any believer, because a believer is anointed and chosen. Whether you don't have an exchange of dress, whether you don't have a befitting shoe to wear to your clothes, ladies and gentlemen, you've been chosen and you'll be anointed. Anybody that has Jesus in his life, I said to people, don't look down believers. No matter the physical state, the riches of God is inside a believer. The glory of God is on top of a believer. The goodness of God, you understand, is on a believer. It's just a matter of time. You look abandoned today, but you've been chosen. You'll be anointed. Number two, be careful how you react during your darkest hours. And you need to know this, because listen to me. In the darkest hours, that's when we take stupid decisions. In the darkest hour, that's when we veer away from God. In the darkest hour, when we are going through a band, like now you are abandoned, you feel lonely. That's when some people take all kinds of decisions. They abandon God. I was saying to somebody yesterday that I went to visit, I said, listen, I said, it's God that bear the brunt of all our misfortunes. When things are not doing well with us, it's God that suffers. You abandon church. You abandon the work. You abandon the prayer. But you still go to your workplace. You still do some other things. You eat your food. You don't abandon your food. You don't go and resign in your workplace, but it's God that will suffer. Anything bad that is happening to us. So be careful how you react during your darkest hours. Let me tell you three things that you must avoid. When you are going through, you know, some dark aspect of life. Number one, avoid doubt and unbelief. Avoid doubt. You see, when you are going through your darkest hour, one thing that the devil wants to take away from you is your faith. It's your faith. He wants to put you in doubt of the word of God. He said, is God's word true? Is God's word true? Especially you that you're serving the Lord. You are doing everything to satisfy God. You are doing everything to make God happy. And then you are going through this challenge of life. You know what I'm saying? Is God's word true? I don't believe this word is true. Or it's true for some people. It's not true for some people. And then when believers share testimony, the devil said, don't mind them. It's the Jew they use. Oh. It's connection that they use. Oh. Because in your darkest hour, he wants you to doubt God's word. Number two, in your darkest hour, I'm making the second point under the second point. Do you get that? Number two that you need to be careful of in your darkest hour, be careful of offenses and bitterness. The devil wants to sow in your heart bitterness and offense when you are going through your darkest hour. When you are lonely, you know that when you are lonely, that's when the devil sows all kinds of seed into your heart. When you feel abandoned, that's when the devil comes and sow all kinds of seeds into your heart. But during that time, avoid offense and bitterness. The devil says, you know, that reminds me. You know, some lowly-minded people in church, you know, when they are preaching like this, they say, the one pastor will preach. The one pastor will preach. You know, they're just not stupid people. Stupid people, people that don't have any sense. Look, if they said, you want back to be preached, send it back to them. Say, don't kill me. This pulpit is meant to be preached God. It's meant to be preached God. You understand? We don't use people to preach people. We can talk about your experience. Most people don't talk about it. What do you want to say? You see that person stupid? The person saying he's stupid, the person being said to is much stupider. That in church, when God's word comes, the Bible says the word of God is for rebuke, is for exhortation, is for correction in righteousness. I say, Bible study a need or a pastor, so I'm afraid. This is what we are talking about in church. The Bible says, taking the engrafted word of God. That's why God's word is not benefiting them. They are not taking it in, they are playing volleyball. They parry it. Instead of receiving the word, if it is rebuked, take rebuke with gladness. If it is correction, take it with gladness. Don't allow it to bring offense and bitterness into your heart. When you are down, the devil wants to reach out to you. And so you see now, all the Christian brothers have left you. All the Christian brothers, they have abandoned you. You understand? He said, now, you better go and meet the Muslims. You know that I remember during my tough time. Have somebody, I'm sure in her own way, she thinks she's so love to me. He says, sir, I will buy you three houses. We just do something on it. Money begins to come. Do you understand? That's our way to reach out. It's the two of us in my office. That time I was director of research and statistics. And things were so bad for me. Ladies and gentlemen, when I say things were bad, you know, when you're in a situation, people don't pick your call because they think you are going to ask them for money. And so there's an opportunity for Apple Meta. Look, oh God, so you know, how you are about it. You understand that? And I said, thank you very much. Whatever I'm going through is for a while. I will not take a permanent decision to solve a temporary problem. Eternal God is my witness. Few weeks after, thousands of money came to me. Enough to meet my debt. Not very good. Only me to one who knows about it. Okay, once it's done, but it's okay. But me, I want you to see what I'm going to do. That money came to me. If I've taken that, that money will still come in. I will think it's the apple. It's just three apples. I can share the senior. I want to laugh. Yes, I get it. Oh, my one. I can read you to my one. I can, I was realizing you know what? The apple over. But listen, whatsoever the devil gives you is coming for you. You better stay. Stay true. This challenge, ladies and gentlemen. Stay true. Avoid offense and bitterness. They said all kind of things about me that time. But I was able to keep my hands. I was not offended. My God, my Lord, you know. Do you understand that? You know, my God, my Lord, you know. You know, you know that. Any ticking in compassion in when you can only. Any cooper? Any? And see, job, I did back long when you can only. Or get. Oh, and it's equal for a bad shake in the ground. Because things are working for you, you think we have the formula. You know, we have the formula. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, you know what the Bible says? When the evil day, it's not the evil day, the evil day will come to all of us. So avoid offense. And number three, on that point, number two, avoid anxiety and depression. The devil wants to bring depression your way. He makes you feel bad. When depression comes, you cannot believe God again. When you are anxious, because the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. That time, when he told me about that, he said, he just spoke about it. And he went for holiday. He said, we use 1 month. You know, he used 3 months. But I understand. You know that when you go to holiday, where your wife is, holy Lord, you never come back. Do you understand that? You know, he was more anxious. So, when you are going through your darkest hour, do not be anxious. Don't say that, what's in power? What's in short list? I want to say, yes. Hey, I got not any kind of baby. You know what the Bible says? That king said, if the Lord, he was a king, not an honor man. He said, if the Lord does not help you, where will I? Will I be able to help you? Let your faith be in God. Don't be anxious. Number three, you are not alone. I want you to know that in your heart. Even when you appear lonely, when you appear to be alone, I want you to know that you are not alone. So I will not. I like and be fine. He said, I will never. Point number four, you need the wilderness experience as a preparation for the truth. What you are going through it now, you need it. Very soon, I have time to preach to us on the gain of pain. You need the wilderness experience. As a Christian, if everything is working for you like this, there's trouble. If everything is just going smoothly for you, then there's trouble. You must go through some wilderness. Joseph had a dream. He said, my brothers will be bound. So he thought he would wake up and you see all his brothers gathered and be bound. He went through some wilderness experience. That's when he became prime minister. He was able to tell to his brother, and you are going to say to somebody in the name of Jesus. He said, what you meant for evil, if you did not go through wilderness experience, how will you be able to say that? He said, what you meant for evil, the Lord, you don't get it. He did not say that I turned it. Because what he went through was more than him. What he went through was beyond him. When you come out of your wilderness experience, what will come out of your mouth is that the Lord. You won't be able to say, my brain. You will say, my certificate. You won't be able to say, my connection. You will say, the Lord. Because you will know that if it is the Lord, if it will not, that is for Israel. And that's why you're going through it. So that you'll be able to say the Lord. So that you'll be able to say the Lord. At the end of the day, when you have vindicated, you'll be able to say the Lord. Moses in the wilderness, he had his experience in the wilderness because he was going to lead the people out. When there's an anointing over your life. You listen to this, what I'm going to say. And listen to it carefully, ladies and gentlemen. If the hand of the Lord is upon your life, you must. I'm not saying this one you may. You must go through with that. If the hand of the Lord is upon your life, if the anointing of God is upon your life, you must go through with that. If you haven't, it's either the hand of the Lord is not upon you. But you know something? I've said to you, you are anointed and you are called. So if you are not in wilderness experience, be ready for it. You go through it. There's nothing you can go do about it. And that's why you listen to this one. David went into the bush. Joseph was in the prison. Moses was in the wilderness. And you forgot in Hannah when he had no child. The second wife was saying all kind of things. Oh, they don't want you. I can hear. What is your name? You understand that? Go and see a woman trusting God for the fruit of the womb. She will tell you the pain that is felt when you have some other people talking to you. You understand? She went through that with us. And lastly, the fifth point. Listen to me. God just gave me this. Praise in pain to gain. Praise in pain to gain. In your pain now, learn to praise the Lord. In your pain, we are going to praise God shortly. In your pain, learn to praise God. Learn to celebrate so that you will gain. If you don't praise, the Bible says in the midnight, Paul and Silas, they prayed and they sang and they gained. If they did not praise the Lord, the prison door wouldn't have been open. My time is up. I would have concluded with a story, but I think I've done enough. Let me round up Psalm 22 very quickly. I've been telling you that story another time under another topic. Psalm 23. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And I want us to rise on our feet together as I conclude. Come on, carry your Bible or look at the screen. And we'll read Psalm 23 together. And I want you to read this with the meaning of an understanding in your heart that you are not forgotten. And so the Bible says, let's read together from verse 1. Let's go. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the sea waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The Lord and the staff, they comfort me. Let's read verse 4 again. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, 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 goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell. Hallelujah. Shanda katala bakala bakashaka. Can I have the choir? Let's bring the Holy Ghost up. Ez de keleba santa liba koria mashanta kalabash. Ere bakatanda liba baba baba katala bash. I will dwell. I will expand. I will be fruitful. En preketolo boshike tende liba kayanta liba kashaka talabash. Mere baka tandara baka karabash. Can we sing his name? Eba haki tolo bashi. Come on, put the song Gizebo on the screen so we sing together. Mili fasante kele bahambre gedeli bahakash. Ele mazum kreke chele bahamba rakatolo bashi. Egre bahase tele bahambre gedoli bakasanta le bashi. Mabahaka taliban so pele ketele bashi. Nebra akatulo bosa breke tele bahamba rakatala bashi.
He's God. Say what to do.
I want us to stretch out our hearts out to God. And I want us to be quiet. And so you receive the comfort of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Lord wants me to say to you. Just stand and you receive the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Just receive the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And you stand before him. The Holy Spirit will say what you have to say. It will minister comfort. To some of you, it will minister strength. To some of you, it will minister forgiveness. To some of you, it will minister hope that I receive in my spirit. So you know that the situation is not hopeless. To some of you, the Holy Spirit is ministering change. Come on, receive his comfort. Receive a word from God. Receive encouragement from God. Receive strength from God. Come on, lift those two hands to God and say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. God is a every word that he said to you. He will do this. Every word, every promise, none shall return to him void. And so I say to you this morning, be expectant. Be expectant. Be on the lookout. Because your miracle is at the door. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, pray, and the people of God say,
amen.